Well, I am thrilled about the word of God today to see what it is that God has to say to us on this day of beginnings. This day of beginnings. So if you could turn with me in your scriptures, on your phone, or on the screen, to the book of Isaiah. Book of Isaiah, prophet Isaiah. We are in the 61st chapter, reading verses 1 through 4. Isaiah 61, when you got to say amen.
Amen.
Amen. We are ready in the house of the Lord. Please attend with me to the reading of God's holy word. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, Isaiah says, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called, he says, they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. If you could return with me to the beginning of this passage, we're going to read a little bit from verse 1 and 2. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. If you could announce with me the title of this sermon and what God is trying to say, say back with me, this is the year.
This is the year.
Amen. Let's pray. God, we once again give you our imperfect praise, but we give it all to you. We recognize that you have brought us to a new year. And like Elijah said, we are excited about it, excited about what you will do. So we ask right now, we ask right now that you shift the things in our hearts that need to be shifted so that we can bring to your altar what's really true for us. We ask that you call our, God, that you call our attention with your Holy Spirit to the places in our spirits that most need to hear from you. We ask that you give us ears to hear, that you quiet us down enough to hear you loud and clear. And God, I ask that you would use me in whatever way you need so that your people might hear from you. Get me out of the way so that your voice can be what rings in our ears this morning. Because we need your voice this year. God, we can't do it without you. We need you this year. We don't want to do this thing without you, God. We want to go with you. That's what we want. That is our desire in our prayer. But we can't do it alone. We need your Holy Spirit. Come, Spirit, come. Your people are listening as best they know how. We love you and we praise you. We need you so bad, God. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus that together we say amen.
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 Amen. Maybe you have noticed, as I have, you may have noticed in your life that often the moments of greatest transformation are birthed in seasons of great trouble. Have you noticed that? That often our moments of greatest growth are birthed in the delivery room of deep hardship and difficulty, that sometimes our greatest breakthroughs are debuted on the backdrop of great trying times. And we grow the most when we are experiencing a tremendous challenge. If you don't believe me, just ask J.K. Rowling, the author of a little book you may have heard of, I'm not sure. It's called Harry Potter. Now, don't lie. I know even though you are in your 40s and your 50s and your 60s, you have read it 3 and 4 times, the whole series. You act like you buy it for your kids, but then you take it from them before they get a chance to read it. Don't lie. There's no need to be acting like we're reading Shakespeare in here. This is church. You can tell the truth. I know you love Harry Potter. You may know her books, and you also may know that J.K. Rowling can attest to the fact that sometimes our greatest moments of transformation are birthed in the delivery room of great trouble. She conceived of the premise for the series Harry Potter in 1990. J.K. Rowling did in 1990 when things were pretty good. Somebody say pretty good. Pretty good in her life. She had not experienced loss. She was unemployed. She was doing fine. And she conceived of the idea then. But it was not until 7 years later That the idea was birthed and came into fruition. It took 7 years for it to come out. And in those 7 years, I need to tell you that J.K. Rowling experienced a season of trouble. In these 7 years, she experienced unemployment. She experienced divorce. She had a miscarriage before she had her daughter. And she lost her mother at the end of a very difficult illness. This was a season of difficulty. She met depression at this time. She met poverty in a real way. She faced the challenges of being a single mother. It was in the season of this difficulty, but in the midst of this trouble that was all around her and the challenges that seemed like they might pull her down, in the midst of all this trouble, she sat down in a cafe in Edinburgh for day after day with her typewriter and her daughter until there was birthed from her what God had been gestating in her, what God was trying to pull out. Her greatest triumph came out of this period of great difficulty. Now, of course, the book series is the most sold book series in the history of humankind. She didn't know it at the time, but her greatest transformation was being forged in the crucible of great trouble. If you don't believe her, let's ask John Coltrane. John Coltrane was a gifted musician from the beginning. We know he always had the talent, but the talent was not at its full capacity. It wasn't until he began to struggle with addiction. He struggled with addiction, and it got to such a point that it was interfering with his career, and he was fired twice. Somebody say twice. Fired twice from the band by none other than Miles Davis. He was fired. He had hit what some of us have labeled rock bottom. A period of great trouble in his life, and he had hit this place that was rock bottom, but it was on the climb back up. It was on the climb back up that he began to not just play the background music, but he began to play his own music. And it was on the climb back up. It was a couple short years later, after this time, when he was fired, when he had made mistakes, when he was falling apart. It was after this time, out of this period, when his own music came into its full fruition, when his own music came out. And then it was one album after the other. It was Blue Train, and then Soul Train, and then it was Giant Steps, and albums that will never be forgotten, because his greatest triumph, his greatest transformation, what God was trying to birth in him, it came after, forged in a time of great trouble. Now, if you don't believe J.K. Rowling, if you don't believe John Coltrane, you want somebody who's been around a little bit longer. Let me tell you about Joseph. Maybe you know Joseph. Maybe if you haven't read Harry Potter, you haven't listened to Giant Steps. Maybe you've read the book of Genesis and you know Joseph. We know that Joseph went through a period of great trouble. He was betrayed by his brothers. We know the story. He was sold into the hands of people who were trading humans. His life had gotten to such a point. He was, you know, the Bible tells us he was in a pit. He was in a pit. But it was in this pit that God came to him. It was in this pit that God pulled him out and said, you know what? What they meant for evil. Somebody say it with me. The Lord meant it for what? For good, because it was in the pit of his greatest trouble that God forged some things and made him stronger than he ever knew he could be, and told him that you are here for a reason. If not, why would you have survived all the things that you have survived? You are here for a reason, and I'm pulling out of you something. And it was in this pit, in this season of great trouble, that Joseph became who he was. And he looked up one day and he said, you know what? I'm not in a pit anymore. God has pulled some things out of me. Now I'm in a palace and I'm leading people. And Joseph said, you meant it for evil. God meant it for good, to preserve life. My legacy has been forged in what I went through. So could it be said, if we ask J.K. Rowling, could it be said if we ask John Coltrane, could it be said if we ask Joseph, could it be said that there are times in your life and what you look at as trouble, what you look at as difficulty, what you look at as problems, mess, and pain, what you look at as failure, could it be said that those times could be seen as the incubator for the next big thing that God is doing in your life? Could it be, I want you to consider this premise with me, could it be that the difficulty and the challenges, the sleepless nights, yes, and even some of the tears, could be seen, if you look at it through a different lens, as the backdrop that God will use to debut what God intends for your life? We are studying the book of Genesis in Bible study. You need to get to Bible study. We're having a good time. We're studying the book of Genesis in an effort to begin this year well. Because in the book of Genesis, where our holy scriptures tell us about the way that everything began, they give us some powerful lessons about how to begin things well. So we're studying the book of Genesis, and we've learned that in the beginning of everything, when God created all of us, God said to the first human, I'm going to bring you the animals, and I'm going to see what you name them. Oh, the importance of naming things. God said, I'm going to bring them to you and see what you will name them. And whatever you name them, that is what they will be called. Ah, this is powerful for us that originally, primordially, we had the sacred and the holy ability, even the responsibility to name what we encounter, to name it. And that is what it will be called. That's what Genesis says. To name, the importance of naming, how important this is, this sacred responsibility, how important it is to name what we see in life. And a lot of times we are too preoccupied with the mess that we see. We can't put the right name on it. And when we can't do that, we can't walk into what's next because we don't have the right interpretation of what came before. Naming things, how we name things is so important. We know this. What you name a child will often be the destiny of that child. If you call a child problem behavior, if you label that, this what this child does is problem behavior, what will that child do? That child will exhibit what? Problem behavior. What you name a sermon often dictates. You got to be careful with the name. You got to wait for God to give you the name, because what you name a sermon will dictate the content of what comes out, and that content is important. What you name things matters. What you name experiences in your life, it matters. How many know when two people are falling in love and one finally has the courage to name the experience and to say, you know what? I got to tell you something. I think I'm falling in love with you. And when they name it, when they have the courage, something changes, something shifts. There's importance in naming things. This is a holy and a primordial responsibility that God gives us. What you name your life, what you name your experience, what you name things that happen, it shifts things, right? If you look at your life and you call it, oh, I was the victim. No, what if you name it? No, I'm not the victim of my story. I'm the hero or the heroine. When you look at your life and you say, no, that is not, I could name that failure, but I'm going to name that work in progress. When you look at your life and you could name it lonely, or you could say alone because I'm courageous enough to go to places other people aren't brave enough to go. It's how you name it. You could name it broken person, or you could name it wounded healer. It's all in the name that you give it. There is power in what we name things. And as we step through the door of this year that God has given us, as you step through the 2019 that God has given you, the way we name things is so important. We have the power to name this season. Woo! The power to name it. The God-given primordial power and responsibility to name it. But it's going to be hard to name 2019 right if we're not naming 2018 right. It's going to be hard to walk into what God is trying to do with and through us if we're not clear on what God did last year. It is going to be hard to walk over the precipice of what God is yet doing if we're not clear on what took place before. Many times we get so stuck in what happened before that we're too preoccupied with the mess to see the masterpiece that God is making out of it. It's important what we name things. It's important when we name what we just went through. I could tell you, name your season, claim it, say what is, speak it into the atmosphere. And those things are true. And they would help you for about 3.5 weeks. They would help you in a limited way. Let me tell you why. Many times when we want God to do a new thing, when we want God to bring us into what's next, when we want God to shift things and make it different, we want what we think we want is a clean break. Somebody say clean break. What we think we want, this is what we say to God. God, can we start from scratch? God, can just take away the bad, put in the good, just wipe it all clean. This is the churchy language that we sometimes use. Clean break, radical break from what came before. But what the problem with that is that's not how life, and that's not how God always works. God does not radically remove what came before. Rather, God usually shifts us gradually and comes. It grows out of what came before. You can't get to what's new by ignoring what came before. You can't get to what's new by running away from. How many know you can't get to what's next by acting like what came before didn't happen? No, what you got to do is rename it. What you got to do is look at it through God's lens. What you got to do is shift your understanding of what happened before. We know this in a relationship. How many have tried to fix a relationship and you want to say, come on, let's just forget all that. And the other person says, no, we're not going to be forgetting all that. We're going to talk about it until we come to a different understanding, until we can rename it. So I'm not going to name that. That's just how marriage is. No, I'm going to name that. That's the time that we had to learn to be with one another in a new way. Right? In your past, when you try to step away from your past or see what's new, what God is doing, the new thing that God is doing from your past, you can't run away from it. No, but you got to rename it. You can't call yourself person broken by what happened to her. No, you got to call yourself survivor. There is power in renaming what happened to you. There's power in stepping over into a new place where you look back on what you saw and you say, I got a different name for what I went through. And as we step into 2019, some of us have had 2018s that had some trouble in them. Some of us had some 2018s where we lost some things, where dreams that we have been holding tight for a long time, where they slipped and they fell and they got broken. Things came out of nowhere and hit. Some of us have had some 2018s with some trouble. And we may be tempted to say, God, can you wipe it all away? God, can you put it in a box in the closet that I don't have to see? God, can you make it go away? But God says to us today, I need you to rename it. God says to us today, I have given you a divine vocabulary. I have inspired you with a new way to see these things. I've told you about Joseph. I've told you that I can work some good out of something. I need you to rename these things. It's not easy to do when you lose things. It's not easy to do when what you come through still has you bruised from the falls that you took. It's not easy to do when you've experienced some trouble. Isaiah was in a season of trouble when we meet him today. He was in a season of real trouble. That's why I brought him, because I think his trouble might be a little bit even harder than yours. Isaiah was in real trouble. His people were in the Babylonian exile. About 600 years before Jesus came, the Babylonian Empire, as many of you Bible scholars know, the Babylonian Empire decided that they wanted more. Anybody know any empires like that? They wanted more. They didn't care if it wasn't theirs. And so they came in about 600 years before our Lord and Savior came, and they came in to the Hebrew people and they said, this is now ours, thank you. And they knocked down Jerusalem and they laid siege to the city and they burned the temple to the ground and they took back, they took the educated and the visionaries and the artists and the poets and the people who could lead and who could inspire. They took them all with them on the exile. They took them back to Babylon so that the Israelite people could not rebuild. Ever felt like something happened and you just can't rebuild? Ever felt like, yeah, other people maybe, yeah, but me, you don't know what happened to me. I cannot rebuild from here. This is where Isaiah is. He's in a season of trouble. You're 2018. Maybe some things were taken from you. Maybe things were knocked down that you thought would always stand there. When I tell you their temple had been there for a long time. They did not see that coming. All of a sudden, an enemy that they did not even know existed knocked down what they thought would always be there. Some of us have gone through years that have taken from us some things that we thought would always be there. Maybe your 2018 has left you sore in some spots where you fell down and you got bruised. Maybe when you look around, what you see is ashes. Maybe when you look around, sometimes you want to praise, but what you have is a faint spirit. A season of trouble. But Isaiah, in this season of trouble, Isaiah, because the Spirit of the Lord was on him, Isaiah, because he heard a voice that wasn't like the voices that he heard around him. Isaiah, because the Spirit of the Lord was whispering to him, Isaiah heard something. And so he had the audacity to stand in a season of trouble and proclaim transformation. I don't know if you see it in the text, but Isaiah, in this season of trouble, of deep trouble, where he looked around and all he saw was lives interrupted and ashes on the ground and things not the way they expected. he expected. God never told him that this was going to happen, yet it happened, and it took everything to the ground. Isaiah, in this season of deep trouble, he had the audacity to stand there and to look around at the scenery and say, I know what you're naming this. I know the word you have for it. I know the word that my emotions and my logic want me to put on this, but I have the audacity because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and the Spirit of the Lord has told me that I'm going to proclaim that this looks like trouble, but God is about to transform it. Oh, Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. And so he had some different vocabulary. He named it differently. He took up his primordial responsibility given in Genesis to name these things. And that's what they will be called. Oh, it wasn't him who did it. It wasn't him. Isaiah, in many places, shows his humanity throughout this beautiful book of prophecy. He's human. It wasn't him who did it, but the Spirit of the Lord whispered in his ear something different. You have the opportunity to rename some things you went through, to change it and to rename it. And once you say, you know what? That wasn't only what I thought it was. It wasn't only failure. That was God clearing the scene for what's next. That wasn't only them walking away. That was making room for who's supposed to be there. That wasn't only what I thought it was. That wasn't what my logic and my emotion tell me to get stuck in. No, I'm going to rename this thing because the Spirit of the Lord is on me. Right? We are told in Acts that the Spirit of the Lord will fall on all flesh. Somebody say all flesh. That's you. Don't be looking at the person next to you. I'm talking about you. The Spirit of the Lord is on you too. It might not grab you the way it grabs Isaiah. You might hear a whisper, not a whole lot of yelling, but the Spirit of the Lord is on all flesh. Can be, if we listen. If you hear the whispers that come to you throughout the day as you're being guided, if you hear the whispers or even the yelling or however, if you hear the Spirit of the Lord, God can give you a different vocabulary. Now, I'm not saying you look at what went wrong, the pain, because I'm saying, I know we've been through some deep pain. I'm not saying you paint it all with a rosy brush, that you look at it all as though nothing went wrong. No. Isaiah mourned. Isaiah was a good mourner, and some of us need to get there. We need to learn how to cry for what took place so that we can rename it and go to what's next. Sometimes we get stuck because we refuse to look at what hurt us. Isaiah knew how to mourn. Joseph, he knew when his brothers came and they finally had the reconciliation and his life was already better, but he still cried for what went wrong. He said, y'all gonna need to leave the room because I need to get myself together. See, gentlemen, you can cry too. Joseph was very tough, but he still cried. There, and I'm not saying paint it over, rename it, act like nothing went wrong. No, I'm saying see what God can yet do in it. I'm saying see that through it, God can pull some transformation out of this season of trouble. You too, once you declare, once you rename, once we re-see what 2018 was, we have the power to walk into 2019 in a new way. Once we name what came before, we have the power to name like Isaiah said, you know what, I know what everyone else sees. I know what I want to call it, but I am going to declare that this is the year of the Lord's favor, that this is the year that transformation will take place, that this is the year that the things that I need will come to me, that this is the year where healing will be my inheritance. This is the year I have the power to declare because the Spirit of the Lord has told me this is the year. This is the year. I know some of us need this to be the year for some things. We need it to be the year we've been waiting for so long, and there's something in naming it. There's a power in naming that this is the year God's transformation will take place. What will it look like? Now, I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking because a lot of times we hear these things, oh, just claim it and name it, it'll take place. And you're looking at me like, come on now. That sounds good, I get excited, but it doesn't work like that. You can't just snap your fingers and make, you know, fortune and success and the good things happen to me. I know what you're thinking. I agree with you. There's an amazing preacher, Gardner Taylor, passed away. He says stuff like that when you think being with Jesus is about saying what you want and it happened. He says, that's candy-coated gospel. And he says, we know that too much candy gives you diabetes. So this is not gumball machine gospel where you put in what you want and you name it and you claim it and it's there. No. This is favor. This is favor. We have a misunderstanding of what favor is. A lot of times favor is taught to us, right? Like you name it and you claim it, and the favor will mean that everything falls into place. that the money will be there, that the bank account will grow by zeros and more zeros, that people will be clapping for you and you'll have a place, the best place, that the people say that's favor. That's not favor. Isaiah tells us today what true favor is. Yeah. Isaiah tells us in this holy book, and in no uncertain terms, Isaiah tells us favor is not about getting good attention. Favor is not about money. Favor is not about ease. Favor, he says, is walking in the ways of the Lord. Favor, he says, is living a life that brings good news to those who are oppressed. He says favor is the kind of thing that opens doors for those who are captives. Favor is binding up some brokenhearted people. And I don't just mean your own broken heart. Favor is doing some things that have impact beyond the four walls of your apartment and the four corners of your universe. Favor. Favor is being called to live a life of impact, releasing the prisoners, releasing refugees who have been put in cages by imperialism and xenophobia. Favor is having an impact. Favor is the world being closer to the kingdom of God than it is to the broken kingdoms of this world because you were on the earth. Favor is not easy. Whew. We know this from Jesus. The day that he preached this sermon, he chose this text, his inaugural sermon. He didn't get favor like that. No, he got real favor. They didn't say, oh, that was so beautiful. They didn't say, let me call you Uber Lux. Mm-mm. They tried to push the man off a cliff. That's favor. They did not clap for him and laud him. No, they tried to get him away from them because the voice of God was too piercing for what they had in mind. No, it was not the fake kind of gumball machine favor. No, it was real favor. Yeah. It was favor that he was chased by the presence of God everywhere he went. His life had impact so much more that we are singing his name today. Favor. Real favor. So as you declare, as you rename some things in 2018, and as you declare that this is the year of God's favor in your life, I can't promise you that it will be easy. I can't promise you that there will be money. I can't promise you it'll be lucrative. I can't promise you it'll all come together. I can't promise you it'll be shiny, but I can promise you that this can be the year when God transforms some things that truly you need, that turn your life into the life you dreamed of, that bring you into the impact and the call that God has placed over your life. I can tell you that thing because I know the Holy Spirit has anointed me to tell you this is the year. This is the year. It can be that kind of year of real favor. Real favor. Here we are, 2019. Here we are. This is the year that God has given us. For you to do what God put you on this earth to do. For you to have the abundant life that Jesus came to give. Ooh, here we are, 2019. And we can walk into this and we can name it. There's something so important. Something primordial and sacred in that responsibility that each of us has to name what we encounter. But we gotta, in order to name 2019 in the right way, to walk into what God has for us, we gotta look back. And we gotta rename some things. We gotta get a vocabulary lesson and shift some things. You can't run away, you gotta look back. It's not easy to do. It's not easy to do because sometimes you look back and all you see is ashes. You just wish they would go away. Ooh. Sometimes you look back and all you see is a mess. You just wish destruction, you just wish it would go away. It's not easy to do. When Isaiah stood in his season of trouble, he looked around and he saw ashes. And I'm sure part of him wanted to just walk away from it. Oh, but the Spirit of God told him something. You know, Isaiah makes an interesting turn. He makes an interesting turn with his text. He says, the Spirit of the Lord has told me some things. The Spirit of the Lord has shifted my vocabulary. I look around and I see ashes, and man, they look bad. But the Spirit of the Lord has shifted some things, and I see something else. I'm able to proclaim that this is the year where God is going to transform some things. Why? Because underneath the ashes, I see something else. Do you see it in the text? Underneath the ashes, he says, I don't see just ashes. Underneath, those ashes are not only what they appear. There are some more. Underneath the ashes, I see garland, he said. And I see oaks of righteousness sprouting up. And I see the planting of the Lord, he says. And garland, of course, we know is a beautiful green plant that we had in the sanctuary. Oaks are a plant, that a tree that symbolizes strength and righteousness. And the planting of the Lord, he said, I see all this under the ashes. I know what you see. I know what your logic and your emotions tell you that is around. But the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and I see something coming up. Did you know that ashes are a great fertilizer? Did you know that ashes are one of the best ways to make a plant grow strong and tall? Did you know that when he saw the ashes around him, he didn't just see the destruction and the bad things? No, he saw what the destruction and the bad things were going and were causing to grow. Did you know that ashes are a fantastic fertilizer? In your life, some things that have happened in 2018. I know you didn't want them to happen. I can probably guarantee you that for most of them, God didn't want them to happen either. God did not want destruction. God did not want pain or loss. But I know also that there's a different way to see some of these things. There's a different name you can put on it. We got to rename some things. Got to rename it, right? It's not just they left you lonely. No, it's they made room for who's coming next. One of my favorite preachers, Stephen Furtick, he says, "Isn't it good that some doors close so that we don't spend our whole lives in the wrong room?" Got to rename some things. "Isn't it good that I went through that so now I know how strong I am?" We got to rename some things. "Isn't it good that some things were cleared out of the way so that now what's next can come in?" We got to rename some things. God is doing some things. It's about renaming what came before so we can walk into the year. This is the year. This is the year. This is the year of the Lord's favor. The Spirit of the Lord is upon all flesh, and you have the opportunity to hear that whisper and to declare with God today, this is the year. I'm going to rename this year. This is the year. Come on, say it with me. This is the year. This is the year. Real favor. We got to rename what came before because God is trying to do something new. So let's go where God is going. Amen. 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 Stand to your feet.